Hey everyone, we're so excited to tell you about our new membership.
We're creating exclusive After Dark episodes, monthly live Q&A and discussion calls,
and even some exclusive merch.
See all the benefits and tiers at patreon.com/glampolyam. Yeah, it would feel like family. I think I'm also excited about having like a guy friend that like we like play video games and like also suck each other's dick, you know?
This is Glamorous and Polyamorous,
a show about exploring polyamory and other forms of non-monogamy after religion.
I'm Kelly Smith.
And I'm Zavi Benjamin. Today we're talking about unicorn hunting.
Yes.
What is unicorn hunting? What is a unicorn?
I know, those are all good questions.
We're going to answer them. What's a unicorn?
Unicorn? Oh, you want to go with unicorn first.
Yeah.
So unicorn is usually a person, a third person that someone is seeking to date. But
yeah.
I guess we have to define all of them together, I think, maybe.
Well, I mean, I thought you were going to start with the fact that a unicorn is a mythical creature because it is to a certain extent.
It's a rare thing.
It's a rare thing.
So,
and I think that that's why they call them unicorns, right?
Right. They're hard to find.
Because they're hard to find. Yeah. Okay. So what part did you want to define then first?
Unicorn hunters, what it is.
Yeah. Okay. So then go ahead. What are unicorn hunters?
Unicorn hunters are usually an established couple looking for someone to join their existing relationship.
Okay.
And that can be, usually, they're called unicorn hunters as in a derogatory form because it's, I would say, right? Because it's usually a heterosexual man and a bisexual woman looking for another bisexual woman to join their relationship.
Right.
But it's like they're looking for someone to join their already existing relationship.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm acting like all surprised. Like, oh, really? That's what a unicorn hunter is. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't see these people on Facebook join groups all the time and be like, we're looking to add a third to our relationship.
Or they'll say, we want to spice up our relationship.
Yeah.
So they are looking for
that's right.
someone to join their relationship.
Yeah.
But it can be usually either like sexual or non-sexual. They just want another person to join them and hang out with them sometimes.
Yeah.
It can be non-sexual.
Yeah. So what are we going to get into today specifically then about unicorns and unicorn hunting?
I think that it's good to talk about because a lot in the community it's looked down on because it can be seen as kind of predatory because it's like couples seeking a third person, but it's kind of like they're hunting one down. So they're going through people trying to find that one person to join their relationship, but it's called unicorn hunting because it's so hard for them to find that. Because it's like they're looking for this ideal person. It can be a couple, just a couple looking for another man or a couple looking for another woman. Or, you know, it could be like a lesbian couple looking for a third person to join. It can be all kinds of things. It's not necessarily about gender.
Yeah. So I think we're going to talk about why there are some ethical, I guess, questions that come up, right, with unicorn hunting.
Yeah.
And then we're also going to give some tips on maybe how you can go about this a little bit more ethically, because I think if you want to enter into a triad relationship or a throuple, that's not a bad thing.
Right.
At all. I just think that there are a lot of people who kind of get into it without doing a little bit more research, you know, that could be beneficial. And so that you can create a relationship that is actually equitable between the parties that are involved.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't think it's wrong for a couple to look for a third person. Like, that's totally cool.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's very common, too. There's so many people who are looking for that. But it's how you go about doing it. Like, how you approach it. You have to be transparent about it.
Yeah, I agree.
About what you're exactly looking for.
Yeah. So let's get into that question of like why it's unethical to kind of be a unicorn hunter. I don't know. I have difficulty with this question again, because I feel like, who am I to say what is ethical for somebody else, right? Yeah. But I think that some of the, I guess, ethical questions that often come up with this are this language of, we want to add a third.
Mm.
There are people that feel like, well, I don't want to be in addition to whatever you guys already have going on.
Yeah.
Shouldn't we be creating something new mm-hmm. between us?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a valid concern.
Yeah, that's valid. I mean, there are people out there looking to just hook up with a couple, though. So you can right. find that. But I think where it's like the ethics are involved is like, is everyone okay with that? Just as long as everyone knows that that's what's happening and that's what they're looking for. Like right. they, the, like the couple knows that. And then the person that is joining them knows that too.
Well, hence the reason why I think that this is such a hotly debated topic within the polyamory community, because I think that unicorn hunting is not actually polyamory.
Hmm.
Unicorn hunting is more just ethical non-monogamy. And there are people who want to do that, who yeah. want to just have more casual sexual relationships. Like you said, that's totally true. But I think that there are a lot of unicorn hunters that end up in polyamory groups.
Yeah.
Where polyamorous people are not interested in just a sexual connection most of the time. Again, not that I'm kink shaming that at all.
Right.
Right. But it's just not the same thing. And I think that that's part of why we're even doing this episode, is that unicorn hunting is not really under the umbrella of polyamory, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, I feel like for the most part, people who are polyamorous or in the polyamorous community feel like they want their own relationship, and that's what they're seeking, unless they are single and looking for that. I mean, it's all about what you identify as, and I guess what you are looking for, and just as long as that's clarified.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I want to give some tips about how you can go about finding a triad ethically, because again, like we said earlier, I don't think that it's wrong to do
right.
that at
yeah
all.
There's nothing wrong with that.
So number one for me was, don't make rules. And I love this one because I think that there are people who go into finding a triad or finding a person to form a triad with, that what they'll do is they'll create rules between their existing couple
uh-huh.
that are then going to apply on this, at that point, probably fictional third person still.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's like the wrong way to go about it. I think that, again, an ethical triad is about forming an agreement that all three of you are on board with. And I yeah. think that that means, like, the way that I was thinking about it today when I was thinking about the episode was, like, if you and I, for example, wanted to be in a triad, that means that the relationship that we have now is over. That relationship would be over. We would be starting
a
totally new relationship with a third person.
Mm-hmm.
It's a completely different thing, you know? And I think it's also very different to like being in a V.
Yeah.
Also,
right.
Because in a V, you're not deconstructing that original relationship.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's still intact.
But if you are truly forming a triad, you basically are, again, forming a whole new relationship between the three people. So you cannot have rules that are pre-existing that then apply to this other person. That's not equitable.
Yeah, exactly. I think, and just to add on top of that, so instead of having rules, establish agreements. Like, come to some sort of agreement with everyone involved that everyone has agreed upon and is okay with, and make those decisions together, because it can't be one couple making the rules and then the other person just has to abide by those rules. I don't feel like that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for my tip, to kind of add on top of that, I feel like that everyone just needs to be honest. Be honest with what you're feeling and what you actually want out of the relationship. If you are just looking for a sexual connection with someone, I think everyone needs to be honest about that. Mm. If you are looking for more than that, a deep relationship or a deep connection with everyone involved, be honest about that. And so I think it's important for each person that's involved in the relationship to be honest about what their needs are, what their wants are, so that everyone knows and is aware of how they truly feel.
Mm. How do you feel like you do that when you're starting out?
I think that is something that just has to be talked about. Like if it's just a couple looking to have another, to have a sexual experience with another person.
Yeah.
Okay. From the beginning, just say that. That's what you're looking for.
Yeah.
And then if the other third party is okay with that, then I feel like it's totally fine.
Yeah.
But what's hard is I feel like if it goes beyond that sometimes when people develop feelings, maybe if it continuously goes on, some people might not feel like one way or another is fair. So that's where it can kind of get tricky.
Right.
I mean, I remember someone telling me once that the other partner was keeping track of like every little detail about their sexual encounter to make sure that it was fair and equitable. And I feel like that is where it gets kind of
awkward
and dodgy. If someone is like keeping track of everything that's happening and wants it to be equal, okay.
Right.
But
so does that mean like, oh, if I, you know, go down on this person, I have to go down on the other person? Is that what
that
means?
That's kind of how it was.
Oh, wow.
So yeah. I mean, that's what I talk about. Be honest about what you're okay with. And
yeah.
And just so everyone knows.
Yeah. I think also the something that I was thinking about with this one about being honest about what your needs and wants are is how do you present that in a dating profile also in a way where you're actually going to find people that want what you want? Because again, I think if you go down the route of creating like a couple profile, for example, and saying you're looking for a try-in, I think you're going to attract a certain kind of person. I think you're going to attract someone who might want more of a casual thing.
Yeah.
Whereas someone who is open to an actual try-in is going to, I think, want to date more separately and let that triad form organically. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. And I think that goes back to where you find that person and what, and because like you said, I've seen it on Reddit, like you can look for unicorn hunters, unicorn swingers.
Yeah, right,
so
right.
You know specifically exactly what they're looking for.
Right.
But it's like, it's where it becomes like almost predatory is where those people who are just looking for that experience go on actual polyamorous communities and be like, oh yeah, we're looking to add another person, but they're really just looking for a sexual
experience.
So
you're calling it predatory though? I don't know it. Like, I mean,
I feel like the action
I don't know how
of...
I feel about that. Like, I get that it's not right, and I agree with a lot of the rules that you'll see in polyamory groups that are like no unicorn hunting in here, but at the same time, like, I don't know if I'm willing to say like predatory.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, I guess I shouldn't.
But
say
feel
predatory.
Free to disagree if that's how you feel.
I just feel like if they're not honest about that, then it is when it becomes predatory. If they're not honest about saying that's what they're looking for, then if they continuously seek out this one person because they're trying to hook up with them, then it becomes predatory.
Right.
If they know this person is solo poly and they're just seeking that person to have them join their relationship, it becomes a little predatory.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because I will agree with that. The moment you are doing something where you're trying to manipulate somebody, right?
Yeah.
Because you know what you're actually seeking, but you don't think that this person would be open to that. So you say something else.
Yeah.
That is kind of fucked up.
Yeah. And I don't agree with that. And I wouldn't want that to happen to me, like someone to seek me out like that.
Yeah.
That's not cool.
Yeah. My next tip is to date separately.
Okay, what do you mean by that?
What I mean is what we talked a little bit about earlier in the episode, that you're forming a new relationship. And that means that there are now four different relationships that you need to manage. There is the relationship between each dyad, so each, you know, pair of two, and then the relationship between all three of you.
All of them together.
Yeah.
Is one relationship. Yeah.
So I feel like that, I mean, that means you've got to schedule date nights with each individual person. And then you also need throuple time too.
Well, so, I've heard of some couples.
It's a lot.
Throuples will only go out, all three of them all together. And that's fine. That's their relationship.
Wait, I've heard of that. What do you mean that they'll only go out, the three of them together?
When they go out, they will only go out, the three of them.
Oh.
Every time, all the time.
Right. You see,
or
again,
by themselves.
I don't know. Again, I don't know if I agree with that, because I feel like every pair needs their one-on-one time. Because again, I think a lot of people have this misconception that if you're in a triad or a throuple, you're having threesomes all the time. And that's not the reality of a lot of people who are in triads.
Yeah.
You know, they're not having group sex all the time.
Uh-huh.
That's not the reality. And so I feel like there has to be space for those individual one-on-one connections and the throuple. That's what I'm saying. Date separately, but also spend time together.
Yeah. And I could totally see that. I totally get that. So my last tip is to be patient, because it's not something that is going to happen overnight. You're not going to find the ideal person just by randomly meeting somebody. And I feel like a lot of people have in mind their ideal person, like, oh yeah, let's find this perfect looking woman, usually it's bisexual woman, to add to our relationship. That's like, you know, smart, funny, gonna get along with both of us just great. And they have this like thing in their head that they think is going to happen. And it usually doesn't happen like that. That's why they're called unicorns, because they are hard to find. So I feel like it's something that you just have to be patient with and, you know, let things happen as they happen. And if you are seeking certain type of experience, then be specific and look for that. And there's a ton of websites and ways to find that, I feel like.
Yeah, that's true. I agree with this. And I would say that this is applicable to all of polyamory, because again, I think that when you are looking for a polyamorous relationship, sometimes when you're in the bubble of like the polyamory community, it can feel like there are a lot of polyamorous people, like everybody knows about this.
Yeah.
But the truth is that a lot of people don't. And this is still a very, it's still a very kind of marginalized issue. And I don't feel like there are a ton of polyamorous people out there. So it can be hard to find a relationship with somebody it can be so hard to find a relationship with someone that gets along with you, let alone two people at once, you know? So it's like, I think it does take a long time sometimes to find the right person, but that I don't think that should discourage you necessarily. I think that that just means you got to put yourself out there if that's what you want.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You just got to put yourself out there.
But I do agree, you got to be patient. It's going to take time.
So would you ever enter into that dynamic?
The dynamic of a triad.
Yes.
I mean, I feel like no, honestly.
No.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Because when we first recorded this episode, I said yes. But you know what? I take it back. Because this is what I'm going to say. I think what is actually the dream is maybe a quad.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, I feel like a quad is the dream for me too.
Yeah. I feel like for me, a quad is maybe the dream more.
Yeah. Why do you think that? Like to add more variety, more personalities, more people. It feels more homey, more family-like.
You know what? Okay, so I would love to know your response to this, but at least for me, I feel like I would be excited about the fact that like it would feel like family. Mm. I think I'm also excited about having like a guy friend that like we like play video games and like also suck each other's dick, you know? So, you know, I don't know. That's it for me. What about you?
I mean, I don't want to say no to something that I don't even know exists. So yeah. I don't want to say no to I would never do it.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't know. Maybe I would.
Yeah, that's true.
If like the right situation came along, yeah. I might be open to it. But I feel like personally, I'm not seeking that out. I think ultimately for me, I would love to be in a quad as well. I feel like it's just fun. And I feel like I do like to have people around that everyone, you know, knows each other and is comfortable with each other.
Right.
That is fun to me. And everyone can just be like also, you know, just quiet and just hang out together. Like right. That's ideal for me.
Yeah.
But I think I'm not going to say no.
Yeah, that's interesting that you say that, because what that makes me think about is how, you know, I believe a lot in the law of attraction, right? Mm-hmm. That these things that you want come to you.
Yeah.
But sometimes the thing that you want, you repel it somehow.
Mm.
Right? And then there are other things that are great, you never thought about that come into your life. So as you say that, it makes me think about that, yeah, maybe this whole time I'm thinking like, oh my God, when I have that quad, it's going to be so amazing.
Yeah.
And yet maybe in, you know, my future, it's more like a, you know, pentagon or, you know, whatever it is, right? That is different, that fulfills me in a different way.
Yeah.
And I think that that's actually the beauty of polyamory, is just kind of being open to where connections go.
Yeah.
Seeing what happens. Exactly. It's okay.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I love about it too. So I think the end thing that you can just take away from this whole episode is that it's good to be transparent and be honest about what you want, what you're looking for, with everyone involved. And what would you say your key takeaways are?
My key takeaway is that unicorn hunting is cool if you're honest about it. If you're not honest about it, that's not cool. I don't approve. I feel like that's it. That's my key takeaway.
That's a good one.
We want to thank you so much for listening to this episode of Glamorous and Polyamorous. We would love to hear from you. Have you unicorn hunted, you yeah. bitch? Have you done that? Oh, tell us in the comments or send us an email. hello@glampolyam.com. Kel, where can the people find us on the internet?
They can find us on YouTube, on Instagram, Facebook, Threads, on TikTok, all at Glam Polyam.
Yep, that's where you'll find us. Thank you so much for listening. If you know someone that might love our show,
please share it with them, as that's the best way for new people to find the podcast, and it would mean so much to us.
Thank you.